We thank God for this great opportunity we have for him to sit at his feet. It is a joy. It's a joy to come before the Lord. And today's title for our sermon is what? Personal time with God. Personal time with God. Those of us here who are married, in the course of the period of marriage, there's something we call honeymoon, right? Honeymoon. Within that period, I don't think, even if your friend gives you a call, you would love to take it, because it's a good atmosphere to be within. Those of you who have not married, don't worry, we'll get there. But we're talking about those who have gone through. It's a good moment. And most especially, when you have a good relationship with your spouse, you always want to be in the midst of your spouse. Can the game go down a little? Yeah. You always want to be in the presence of your spouse. And those who have good relationships, especially with your dad, with your man, you always want to hear their voice. They also want to hear your voice. It's a two-way. So having personal time with people is very, very important in our life as human beings. And that is what we are here to discuss as Christians. Because it is very, very important. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we bless you this very morning. I surrender everything into your hands. Father, put aside my knowledge, my understanding. Holy Spirit, may you take absolute control. And I lift every heart that is sitting before you. You know our needs. May you address them. Convict us. Give us grace to draw closer to you, because you are what we need. Thank you for this great opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So, having a personal time with God, last week we heard about the life of Joseph. And it's so beautiful, the way he rose from the prison to the palace and became the prime minister, second in command in Egypt. We call it from grass to grace. From grass to grace. And I believe strongly that it's so appetizing and so attractive for you to have this great opportunity. You don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, and all of a sudden there's a breakthrough in your life. And so everyone sitting here is looking for such great opportunity. Even the old man who has one day to die is looking for breakthrough in their life, and not to talk about us. But it comes with a price. I'm sure at the end of the sermon we heard what Joseph said. You see, against the Potiphar's wife, said, how can I do this wicked thing against God? How can I do this wicked thing against God? It did not just start on that very moment. No. It started with a relationship with God. And now, having personal time with God talks about our relationship. God, who is so relational, he loves to be in relationship with his children. So I read the scripture from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26a. I read, then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. God has created all things. Now, he's talking about making man in his image, in his own likeness. Why? What does he need? So, it's something that catches our attention. We need to focus on it to understand why God needed you and I to partner with him in his creation. You see? As we go on, these are the questions that are going to guide our sermon this morning. First question, why is it important to have a relationship with God or a personal time with God? Why do you think it is so important? And secondly, did Christ, as we see the epitome of human being, did he ever have time with God? And then lastly, if you agree, if on the course of the sermon we agree that, oh yeah, it is important, then we're going to answer the question, how can I have a personal time with God? So now let's journey together. Before we move further on this relationship, we need to take a look at God's character. What are some attributes of God? This is not all that we have, but we just want to single out in terms of relationship and see how God is. You see, one, He is eternal. We live in the frame of moments, which has been categorized into three, called past, present, future. So we live within this frame of time. But God doesn't live within this frame of our time. This is for us. So God Himself is eternal. Eternal means He doesn't have beginning, He doesn't have ending. He's always the same. I think, you know, concept of this nature, sometimes it blows our mind. We don't understand. How can somebody live for long? That is who God is. And then also God is self-existent. He doesn't need you and me to make Him God. No. He is God. And as we read from Genesis chapter 1, He enjoys relationship within Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He enjoys relationship within Himself. But the question is, He also enjoys relationship with His creation. And that is you and I. So a God who doesn't need anyone, He doesn't need anything to make Him who He is. Why is He straining Himself to have a relationship with us? Have you ever given thought to that? Now, in order for us to really understand that, we read Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4. David saw this and asked, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care so much about him?" Why does God care so much about you, care so much about me? There's something there, and that is what we're trying to unearth. Let's look at this building. It looks so fancy, right? So beautiful. But remember, this building cannot survive, cannot exist without what we call foundation. It cannot survive without foundation. Because if you try, it's going to break down. So the question is, what is the foundation of God's relationship with us? What makes Him so much to love us? We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. I read, "So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of them all is love." So, God strains Himself to be in a relationship with that simply because of love. And, you know, let me tell you something. What is in love that is so special? Now here, we look at my Bible. Let's see if it's not working. Okay, now let me see. It doesn't work. Okay, now you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. It talks about the nature of love. Love is not resentful. It is not proud. It's not arrogant. It doesn't keep records of wrong. So because of this, love is able to believe all things, trust all things, seek the best interests of all things. That is why in your state, in my state, even when we're so disobedient, God has so much time waiting for us to come back home. Like the prodigal son. He loves us so much because of His love. He's able to tarry, wait until we come back to our senses. That is the nature of God's love. And that is love that holds every relationship or every institution together. But be careful. The world we live in now is trying to sell something different to us, something counterfeit to us. In marriage relationship, people have a different concept. They think money is very important in marriage. So now majority of Christians put all their heart and mind on seeking for money. And they deserted their family. And the family is breaking down. We have different concept people with motivational speeches. There are so many. But I tell you, if you are here and you are struggling in your relationship, the only antidote is love. Because that is what keeps God in our relationship with us. So it is very, very important. So we see the foundation of God's relationship with us. It's love. The structure we see on the screen. The foundation first block is love. And the pillars that are built on, as we saw from the readings, faith, hope, love. Now faith comes in. What is faith that we're talking about here? Is the conviction and belief in respecting man's relationship with God and divine things. That is the hope. And when we read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, you believing that God exists is not enough. We believing that God exists is not enough. Why? Because in his existence, the demons, the evil, believe that God exists. So if you believe that God exists, you are not doing anything different from even the Satan himself. But remember, it doesn't end there. It says, you must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder. He rewards those who diligently seek him, who trust him, who believe in him. That is the character of God. So God has a character. Beyond we knowing that he exists, that character should guide us. And now beyond also the character, there is a promise. He has promised us. That is also guiding us. And also he has a plan for us. We are not biological accident by birth that we are walking back and forth on this earth. God has a plan for you, has a plan for me. That is why he is speaking to us every day. And if you've not heard God's voice, and if you've not made any attempt to know his plans for you, please join us this coming Saturday, because you are going to be a blessing throughout this study. It is very, very important. Now, hope. Hope sustains us in our relationship with God. Because with hope, that is the joyful and confidence of eternal expectation. And we know that he is never going to deceive us, disappoint us. And we know our salvation is secure. And one day, we're going to take hold of it. And that is why it keeps us going as Christians. So it is very, very important for us to come to understanding in this sense. Now, we come back to the question we began with. Why is it important for you to have a personal relationship? Now that you've seen that God wants to have a relationship with you because of love. He wants you to know his love and then respond to it. God wants you to know his love and remember, he said, let us make man in our likeness, in our own image. God trained himself for you to know who he is. And it is out of his love that we know how to live for him. So here I read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Because God is love. Remember, He created us in His image and in His likeness. So if He is love, we should also be, I can hear you, love. I'm sure you're not afraid to love, because that is your nature. You sitting here as a Christian, He wants you to know it and respond to it. That is very, very important. The second point, because God is love, He wants you to know His love through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember, the Christian love, as we speak of, is not noun, as is seen in the dictionaries. It is verb. It is action. This love is action. So we read from John 3:16, says, for God so loved the world. How did He love the world? By giving us. Something happened. Giving us His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, that through Him we may enjoy every promise that He has for us. And then Jesus Christ also telling us in John 14, verse 60, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So God wants us to know His love through a relationship. And this relationship is with Jesus Christ. I don't know, as you sit here, what is that relationship you have with Christ Jesus? What is your relationship with Him? It is very, very important. We need to ask ourselves. It is a question, anytime we wake up early in the morning, it should ring bell in our ears. What is my relationship with Christ Jesus? And the third point, God is love. And because of that, He longs for your return back home. He longs for your return back home. So we read from Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 to 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. You see? When we hear some of these things, because we live in a world that is corrupted, every day there's pain, every day there's crying, every day there's fear. So when we hear some of these things, it's like, is it true? God is saying, yes, it's true. I'm making all things new. And I want you to be part of it. I want you to come back home to see what I've prepared. So that is why He's pursuing us with His love. His person, every time, every moment, He makes you hear His voice. You hear what is preached to you. You hear in a conversation. God continues to speak in every moment. Why? Because He wants us to come back home. Like the prodigal son, He wants us to come back home. It is very, very important. Very, very important. Now we ask ourselves, did Christ Jesus have a personal time with God? The reason why we're asking this question is it needs to trickle down to us. Because Christ took our place, He became a man to show us what it meant to be obedient to God, what it meant to love God, and to love the humanity God has placed in our environment. So yes, in His earthly ministry, Christ did nothing without God. So John 8, 28 to 29, I read. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. So Christ lived an obedient life to show us the love of the Father. And the climax of it all was that he laid down his life for you and I, that we can have that relationship with the Father. So yes, Christ did. He had a personal time with God. And he demonstrated this through his relationship in prayer. When you read Matthew chapter 24, verse 23, Luke 6, 12 and 13, it talks about Jesus Christ, having dismissed the people, had a very successful, you know, sermon or outreach, evangelism. And dismissing the people, he went to a close place, a solitary place, just to talk to the Father. And then before he chose his disciples, the scripture says he spent all the night praying to his Father. This was an important decision for him to make in his life. But he got to know that without the Father, it's not possible. So he showed us how to have a good relationship with the Father. He also demonstrated through a relationship of obedience and even led to his death. When you read John 10, he said, he laid down his life for the sheep, you and I. He did that for us. Why? Because there was a good relationship between the Father and the Son. He demonstrated this relation by preaching about the kingdom. And Matthew 4:17 says, he went about preaching, telling them the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent. And now because of this obedience, this is where our response comes in. Because of this obedience, God has made Jesus Christ Lord and King. Lord and King. He is your Lord. He is my Lord. He is your King. He is my King. And for every king, what he needs is allegiance. Loyalty. Every king. Every king. I don't know if there's any king you've ever come across who doesn't lead loyalty. Or allegiance, full unreserved commitment. Every king needs it. And Christ is not exceptional. He needs our unreserved attention and commitment. So Daniel talks about how the Son of Man appeared before the Ancient of Days. And the scripture says he was given a kingdom, a dominion, and all nations serve him, worship him. And when you go to Revelation chapter 4, it speaks the same thing. When you come to Philippians chapter 2, so because he led that life of humility and obedience, God has given him a name that is above every name, that at the mention of his name, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Yes, that is our King. So the question comes in with our responsibility. Having loved us, I'm talking about God, and Christ Jesus himself, God himself becoming man, showing us the way, he also portrayed everything that God has spoken to us in his way. He led that life, and he was so obedient, and he showed love. Are you a substance? Are you immune to love? We are all supposed to love. But it happens, it starts with a relationship. It starts with a relationship. So yes, the question that we're going to ask, the final question, how can I have a relationship with God? Or how can I have a personal time with God? Personal time does not come by itself. It begins with a relationship. Personal time begins with a relationship. So the question I'm asking you this morning is that, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Because there are some people who want to bypass Jesus Christ and have relationship with God. Some people think Jesus Christ's teachings You know, his commandment sometimes is so stringent, so I just want to have God. But remember, as you read from John 14, 16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So without Christ, we can't have a relationship with God. And when you talk about relationship or having that personal relationship, it is described in this way in Psalm 33, verse 20, 21. It says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. You see, you boast yourself in him. That is the joy in the relationship. So the question I'm posing to you, what is your relationship with Christ? Do you have that strength, that confidence to boast yourself in the presence of Christ? It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. But within this relationship, you need to love God to hate your sins. Within this relationship, you need to love God. And because your love is for God, you don't want anything to come in between the two of you. So you just want to do anything. You throw every weight that drops you back. You just want to have a good relationship with him. And Psalm 33, verse 17 and 18, I read, for I am ready to fall, and my pain is ever before me. I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin. Sometimes sorry is very easy to say, but it's very heavy for the lips to bring it up. When we've clung to something and we find some kind of comfort in that, which is sin against God, sometimes it's very difficult to say sorry. And I'm talking about sincere sorry. Not the sorry that you are saying sorry, but you know that tomorrow you're going to do it again. Not that one. I'm talking about the sorry that comes from the heart. You know, probably you ask him, Stephen, we are all Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ. So what about the sin you're talking about? Yeah? Do you know that it is rebellion not to give an unreserved commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and King? Do you know that? Yes, it is. And so, yeah, in the church, we have people who are religious rebels. Religious rebels. And so, we saw the life of the Pharisees, right? Jesus always contended with them. Probably you are here, yeah, you sit down innocently. But every word that comes to you, you throw it away. Every word that comes to you, that convicts you, you brush it off. But you put on facade of, you know, good life, morality. Everyone sees you, wow, this sister is so good. This brother is so calm. But your heart, there's a veil covering it. If not opened up to the Lord. And whatever thing the Lord tells you, because you are not willing, you're always disobedient. In your heart, you know yourself. And some people have become worldly rebels. Worldly rebels. Who are these people? You know, there are some people back in the days when they were little or young, they were born into those kind of poor families, right? And they said to themselves, poverty, the way I've seen poverty, I will never let poverty overcome me. So they strive now, they've made it. They've gotten some wealth. And now because of their wealth, it makes it difficult for them to surrender to Christ. They can't go away. Anything that will tackle their wealth, they don't want to. So they've segmented their lives. Jesus Christ, you can take control here, but this place, no. You know yourself. Some are intellectual rebels. They've been able to go through education. They have the PhD. They have the PPP PhDs. And because of that, they think they are so wise. Anything from the pop, anything from the scriptures, Remember, faith talks about things that is cannot be proven physically. You can't prove God, right? And those of us sitting here, none of us saw Jesus Christ. But First Peter says, we believe him, and we are so joyful about him. Faith. Don't have to always be content with, always defending. I don't think this is true. I don't believe this one. I don't believe it. And there are so many people who don't even believe the Holy Spirit. Who don't believe that the Holy Spirit exists. So how does God work in you? You see, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. You want healing. You don't believe the power that brings healing. You want wisdom. You don't believe the power that brings wisdom. You want breakthrough in your life. You don't believe in the power that brings the breakthrough. So, what kind of stubborn person are you? We have all this in the church. And some come with systematic rebels. They build institutions, they put things together to ensure that they are always covered by things. And so they all resort to, oh, if plan B doesn't work, plan A will work. Plan C, plan D, plan to plan Z. And we have some people, they are cowardice rebels. When you read the book of Revelation, you say, the cowardice, they will not enter there. They are afraid to trust Jesus Christ. I counsel one person for about, right now we are in the seventh year. I think it was last week or last 2 weeks. And then he sent me a message. Brother Stephen, I'm really sorry. Now I know that I've been a rebel in the presence of God. Probably also, because he's always afraid to trust Jesus. If I trust him, if I give my heart to him, I don't know what is going to happen. So always, probably also here, you find it very difficult to give in for Christ to take absolute control of your heart. And some are faithless rebels. They don't have any faith in Christ. But they are always come with the flow. They are always with us. We sing together. We jump together. But they don't have faith in Christ. The rebels are many. I'm sure you can add your list to it. They are many. But the question is, Jesus Christ says something in Luke 14, 26, 27. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot come to me or come after me. He can't be my disciple. I think it's very hard, right? It's very, very hard. Hate your father. Hate your mother. And he says, not only that, your own life. So anything that strikes in between Christ and you, it needs to be taken away. That is the selfless spirit, selfless life Christ has called us. That is the cross that we need to bear. I don't know where you are working. Your workplace. Probably they've told you, you cannot talk about God here. So you say, okay, yeah. And even when you are eating, you're having your lunch, you are afraid to pray. What kind of faith is that? Please, Jesus Christ wants unreserved commitment to him. But remember, all these people around us, that we are fearful of. And because of that, we can't honor God in their presence. Christ is saying, I will come with my angels, and I'll also be so shy to talk to you, to talk about you, to my Father. It is very important. Let's have an unreserved, you know, in my department, I have, in my WeChat, I have my dean, I have my, you know, party secretary. You know, the party secretary is very important. I have the party secretary, and I have my colleague lecturers. Those who have so much, you know, strong faith in their, whatever faith they have. Every morning, they saw my WeChat, they see my WeChat moment, and see what I post.
talk about you having a relationship with God.
And surprisingly, last year, you know, during close to the Chinese New Year, a day before the Chinese New Year, we call it the eve of the Chinese New Year, we have the institutions organize some kind of dinner for foreign lecturers together. And then last year, went together, we're shaking hands, and then one of the staunch, you know, members of whatever thing that we know, you know, he came to me. He shook my hands. You know what he said? "Stephen, what you post is good. I like it." I was shocked. Wow. So if you allow yourself to be overcome by this fear of, I can't talk about Christ in my... You see, it's not about going about talking to people of repent. There is something God has called us to do. Even before we speak out, your life to speak to people, your life, your friends, your colleagues, let your life speak to them. It is very important. Your life should, you see, if you meet somebody for the first time and he tells you, "Oh, I'm a Christian," fear that person. If you meet something for the first time and say, "Oh, I'm a Christian," be afraid of that person. Let the life of that person speak. Let your life speak rather than your mouth talking about it. Let people make inference from what they hear from you. Because some people drain strength and some people are fountain of strength. Those who are fountain of strength, wisdom knows his children. Wisdom knows his children. So please, let our lives speak, because it is very important. And truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like a child, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. So there are so many things we don't understand. But Jesus is saying, let us give him the opportunity. Because Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, "I'm knocking at the door. I'm standing at the door knocking. In whichever rebel you find yourself," he says, "just open up. I know how to make it work for you." So yes, in this we should be intentional. If indeed we want to have personal time with God, we should be intentional. Because he has a plan for us. He is the one who knows the blueprint of the plans he has for us. Nobody knows the details of God's plan and purpose for us. Only he knows. And that is why it is very important for us to have personal time with him. If anybody tells you, there's a prophet somewhere, tells you, "I can prophesy, tell you. People can say these things to you. But Jesus Christ said, "When I am lifted up, I'm going to draw all people to myself." Know his word. He's giving himself out. Just listen to him. Find time. It costs, but this cost, this price, worth it. Let's spend time with him. And we should do that through prayer. Do that through prayer. Pray. There are some of us here who we don't want to pray. We don't like to pray. Pray is your knowing. Is it? Some people understand prayer as just asking from God. That is not it. It's our worship, our surrender, knowing that we are insufficient without him. We come to him with our petitions, loving him, asking for strength. Meditation. Today we've come to church. We've heard the word of God. Which of the scriptures have you noted? Which one are you going to go back to read over? Which one are you going to search to know the truth? Fellowshipping with the saints. That is why we are here. We meet every Sunday. And not only Sunday. In the week, we have what we call the Bible studies. Small groups. Get engaged. Also, abounding in good works. Because that is what Christ has translated you into. He has redeemed you from the dominion of darkness into his kingdom light. It's all about good works. This good works does not qualify you to find favor before God. No, but it's as a result of your thankfulness to him. That is this goodness we're talking about. Immerse yourself in the godly atmosphere. Immerse yourself in the godly atmosphere. The kind of friends that you have around you, are there those who always want you, you know, want you to go back to sin? Or those who encourage you to stay? It's very important. And then have a godly mindset. Just as Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Let us lock our minds. He said, because God hates sin, I don't want to go back. I don't want to. Just lock your mind. And anything that will take you away from God, you are not willing to give up. That is it. That is what we're talking about here. So in conclusion, indeed God is love. It's a fact. So if God is love, and out of this love, He has a relationship with us, it tells you, if you want your relationship to survive, love. Don't keep records of wrongs. Love. Forgive. Love. And it will work well on your behalf. And Christ has demonstrated God's love to us through obedience by sacrificing His life in place of ours. And that was what last 3 weeks we heard about. Atonement. Atonement. Christ has atoned for us. He has changed His life for us. So it is very important that we live in this. God has exalted Christ Jesus as Lord and King over His kingdom. And we are part of the kingdom. So we should give Him unreserved commitment. Personal time with God through Christ begins with a relationship. A relationship. To accept or not accept is a personal choice. The relationship, invitational relationship God has, it's a choice. It's a choice. But remember, any choice that we make comes with either a reward or a consequence. So which one are you for? I pray that this very moment, the good Lord will touch your heart and make you know that He's the only one you need, as we sang in the song.